Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fundamentally Mormon. This is your Mormon fundamentalist friend, Mark Lichtenwalter. Tonight we are going to be continuing on with part two of a pamphlet by Ogden Kraut entitled One Mighty and Strong. And I'll be reading that. You can read along with us at ogdenkraut.com. Click on Read Ogden's Books. There are something like 70, I think there's like 70-something books. I might be wrong about that. I'm not sure if he wrote 70 books or if it was like if the pamphlets were included in the number of his writings, but he's got a lot of really good stuff, and I encourage anybody to go and check that out at any time at ogdenkraut.com. If you want to read along with this pamphlet, go to Pamphlets, Set 2, and then scroll down until you get to One Mighty and Strong. We are in the section entitled Professing Candidates. And I hope that everything will be all right with where I'm at right now. I'm going back and forth between the mine and the coal yard, which is maybe 10 miles back and forth, but most of it's up in the mountains. And I found a spot to pull over on the side of the road, so you might hear some truck traffic going by tonight. The mine is completely full, and we're getting as much coal out there as we can, taking it down to the coal yard, because where the mine is situated, located, whatever, it is like literally in a canyon, and there is no room up there. So if they want to keep mining, which, you know, they do, because that's how they make their money, we've got to do these short hauls, and unfortunately, I'm not in a very good spot. But hopefully, this will be a good spot, and everything will be good. I'll check it later. Anybody who does want to call in to listen to this show and to Overdrive can call in. The phone number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. That is the New York City phone number. I'm not in New York, but that's just the way it goes with Blog Talk Radio. So anyway, you can also find these on my page, Zion's Redemption Bookstore, on Facebook. And you can find other teachings of mine at blogtalkradio.com/The Kingdom of God or Nothing. That's my old radio show. And also Messiah Ben Joseph on YouTube by just typing that in, Messiah Ben Joseph, or Mark Lichtenwalter. That's Mark with a K. And Lichtenwalter is L-I-C-H-T-E-N-W-A-L-T-E-R. One other thing before I do get going. So Ezra, Nehemiah, when they came out of the Babylonian captivity and they brought the people back to Jerusalem, they had to explain to the people what the Torah meant when they were trying to help the people, because they had been in Babylon for so long and a lot of people didn't understand it, and the people got really upset. They were, you know, weeping and wailing because they hadn't kept the law of Yehovah. And, you know, I've got some of these people out there that are trying to teach Torah or trying to teach the scriptures, and they think that they can just read it straight out of the text and not have any revelation, you know, no confirmation of the Spirit, and that if you just read the text, you can understand it. But God sent a prophet, or two prophets actually, Ezra and Nehemiah or Nehemiah, to teach the people what it meant, because you cannot get a correct interpretation by reading the text alone. And a specific person named Jake Hilton, he made a video the other day about, you know, be like the Bereans, test everything. And you know, in the scriptures it says, try the spirits, for many false prophets and teachers have gone out, you know. You know, and so Jake Hilton, I really enjoy his work. I'm not trying to criticize him at all, but if you're listening to him and you're listening to me, I need to let you know something, and everybody else too. You cannot come to a correct interpretation of Scripture by studying everything that you can get your hands on to understand Scripture. You have to get revelation. You have to have the confirmation of the Holy Spirit to understand the truth. And if you do not have revelation with your interpretation, you are simply creating speculation. And that is precisely why there are so many divisions within Christianity and Judaism, because people think that you can climb your way to the top by studying your little brains out. When the judgment comes, a lot of these people who will come to the judgment, who Jesus or Yeshua will reject, they are they who thought that they could study without getting revelation. God, Jehovah, gave us the Scriptures so that we could turn to Him truth by revelation. Like, so if I believe that a Scripture says something, I can go to my Father in heaven in prayer, as James directed Jacob, whatever, the brother of Jesus. Like, it was later changed to James, but that wasn't the name of the brother of Jesus. Anyway, James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask God that giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Nevertheless, let him ask in faith and unwavering, for he that is like a wave is tossed to and fro on the sea. If you study it out to the best of your ability, which you should do, and you come to a conclusion that you think you know what it means, you must take that line upon line, precept upon precept, to Jehovah in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, who the Gentiles called Jesus the Christ, and get confirmation of the Holy Spirit that what you believe is the correct interpretation of Scripture is actually the correct interpretation of Scripture. If you do not do this, you are going to be misled. You're trusting in the flesh of your own mind, or the flesh of some other commentator, or the flesh of a prophet, whatever. And even if the prophet is telling you the truth and you don't go to Jehovah in prayer in the name of Yeshua or Jesus, you are still trusting in the flesh. God, our Father, Jehovah, our Elohim, wants us to turn to Him and ask Him the correct interpretation of Scripture. And if we study Scripture and we do this and we continue to do this, and we ask for answers, our Father will trust us, and He will begin to let us know what the truth is. He will begin to give us dreams and visions and inspirations and direction. And it's like when you go to the Scriptures and you study the way some people do, like really get into it, and then you turn to Jehovah and ask Him for the correct interpretation, or ask Him, this is what I believe this is saying, help me to know the truth, help me to have confirmation. That one thing alone will help build your spiritual armor and your spiritual muscles, so that you can become a servant of Jehovah and know the correct interpretation of Scripture. And what is really sad about that is if you become that person, you are going to be rejected by the world. But you are going to be accepted by Jehovah and by Yeshua. And the people who think that they can study their way to understand the truth without revelation and confirmation of the Holy Spirit, when they come before Jehovah at the judgment bar, or Yeshua, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, they're going to be told, depart from me, I never knew you. Didn't we do many great works in your name? Yeah, you did. You studied your little brains out to try to understand truth. And you probably listened to the whisperings of false spirits. And you probably taught false doctrine. One of the things about being a prophet is the word of the Lord which is given to you is 100% correct. But unless you've gotten revelation with confirmation by the Holy Spirit, most of it's speculation. And that's fine that we do that. We speculate. We search these things out diligently and try to come to an idea of what it is that the truth is. One of the things that really makes me sad, and I need to get over this, but my study in Scripture and understanding why the Jews do not accept Yeshua because of apostate Christianity, because when you go back in the Tanakh, if you read it translated from a Jew, you know, Jewish translators, you're going to get a correct like translation. I mean, pretty close. I mean, Hebrew doesn't always translate into English, but you'll get a better translation. But what happens is you've had these Catholic scribes and these Protestant scribes trying to make it make sense, make the Tanakh make sense. And they have changed so much. The incorrect interpretation of Scripture, incorrect translation of Scripture, and including even adding things to both the Tanakh or the Old Testament, the Torah, the Nevarim, and the Ketuvim, and the Brit Hadashah, which is the New Testament. There are so many things that Paul has said, you know, in the New Testament, in the Brit Hadashah, that are not in the earliest manuscripts because they are added by scribes and Pharisees. And some of them, you know, they're listening to these false spirits and they're like, oh, this should be in here, or that, you know, and they just add things. They don't have the fear of Jehovah in them. In Deuteronomy or Devarim, it says to not add to or take away from Torah or from the instructions of Jehovah, the law of God. And many times I've been told by Protestants in Revelations, it says you're not supposed to add to or take away from the revelations of this book, which they believe is the whole, you know, the whole Christian Bible with the Old Testament and the New Testament, whatever, which isn't what it means. But, you know, they say that, but then they add things. And, like, even in current translations, the New International Version or the Nearly Inspired Version has many things about, because the two are the, I think it was the two main translators of that particular version of scriptures did not believe in the deity of Yeshua. Things out, changed things, polluted the word of Jehovah and the word of Yeshua and the words of the prophets because of their bias. Anyway, this needs to be a show about the One Mighty and Strong Part 2. We're going to be reading the professing candidates, of which I am one. If you know anything about me, you know why I say that I am one of them. But we're going to find out about some of the others. So let's get into the reading tonight. Thank you for listening. The One Mighty and Strong Part 2, The Professing Candidates. In 1912, Joseph F. Smith was still troubled by those claiming to hold the position of One Mighty and Strong, so he warned, I know that the Lord will not raise up Tom, Dick, or Harry here, there, and everywhere claiming to be Christ or One Mighty and Strong, claiming to be inspired and then called to do some wonderful thing. Put that in your little notebooks now and remember it. April Conference Report, 1912, page 10. Nevertheless, claimants to the title continue to arise, and many men have professed revelations which have led them to believe that they were that One Mighty and Strong. 10 of the more interesting ones are listed here. James Brighthouse. Jim published some tracts in 1890 that he was to set the house of God in order. He believed in reincarnation wherever the term resurrection was used. Oh, that's interesting. He even claimed to be more than one mighty and strong, as he wrote that he was the true shepherd of Israel, even Michael the great prince. I've actually met two different individuals who believe they were Michael the great prince. One of them, he wasn't LDS. He thought that Joseph Smith was a false prophet. This guy was so interesting. He was my roommate for a while, and we shared a room. We had two queen-size beds in this room. He slept on one, I slept on the other, whatever. Anyway, he called our room the Holy of Holies because he believed that he was the father of Yeshua, or who the Gentiles call Jesus, and also Michael the prince. And another guy that came to me, and he professed to believe that he was Michael the Archangel. I didn't find this out until after I baptized him, because I'll baptize anybody that comes to me unless I, you know, have a really bad feeling. But I was like, yeah, sure, I'll baptize you. But he's over there in Jerusalem right now causing all kinds of havoc because he's Michael the Prince, one of the two witnesses, or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, let's see, continuing on with the reading. He also thought he was Enoch, once known by the name of Joseph Smith. Oh, that's interesting. You know, it's funny because John Colthorpe, who's now in prison because he's an idiot, and I excommunicated them a while back from my group, Church of the Living Messiah. Anyway, but he believes that I was Enoch, the archangel, no, Enoch, you know, the ancient prophet, and that I was reincarnated, and I was also John the Baptist, I think, and that I was an exalted God, and I came into this mortality to help assist. And I was like, I don't know about all that. I know because like when God tried to tell me I was, you know, one of the one mighty and strong, which I believe there are 15 for each earth, because of the vision I was shown. I when God tried to tell me, like, the, you know, I just was like, no, I'm not. That's crazy, you know. But finally, he commanded me to kneel down before him and ask him who I am. And I was like, oh, okay. So I kneeled down and I said, Heavenly Father, who am I? And I was shown this vision of the pre-existence before this earth was formed, and I was shown Lucifer rebel and be cast out of his place, and he was stripped of his title Lucifer, which means light bearer. I think in Hebrew it's Hillel. Anyway, but light bearer, it means light bearer either way. And I was shown that the Father and the Son stepped down among the generals of the armies of heaven and chose one from among them to take the light bearer's place, and that was me. I took that, and Satan, like Lucifer, was stripped of his title, and he became Satan, or HaSatan, the accuser of the brethren. He, if he had not rebelled, he would have been the third in line, basically, under the Father. But he rebelled. He was one of the highest angels in the generals. Really, he was one mighty and strong, and he fell. So anyway, but it's just interesting because some people were like, well, Joseph Smith is going to be the one mighty and strong. And I'm like, well, how do you know I'm not the reincarnated Joseph Smith? I don't believe in reincarnation, by the way. I do believe in multiple mortal probations, which is completely different than reincarnations. And that is from earth to earth. So after the end of this earth, there will be a new earth and a new heavens. And I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, Samuel Eastman, Sam claimed many revelations, including his call in 1904 to be the one mighty and strong. On November 13th, 1905, the Deseret News wrote an extensive article about him. He was excommunicated shortly thereafter and died about 1918. Paul Feil, F-E-I-L. So, Paul was secretary to Sam Eastman and believed Sam was the one mighty and strong, but when Sam died, Paul thought he should take his place. Paul lived on Redwood Road in Salt Lake with a herd of goats. He was named the Holy Goat. I've heard this before. I don't know why I'm stumbling. One of the goats was named the Holy Ghost, and that was supposed to live through the millennium. Wait, what? Okay. Paul lived on Redwood Road in Salt Lake with a herd of goats. One was named Holy Ghost. That was supposed to live through the millennium. Interesting. Paul died in an auto accident. The goat died of old age. Oh, I love crazy people. They're so interesting. I mean, unless they're dangerous. Sometimes they're dangerous. But, like, when people come to me and tell me their stories, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know, like, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But, like, some of them, oh, man. Like, that Michael guy, like, he tried to kill his wife, and he went, this is way before I knew him, and I didn't know this until after. Anyway, but he was off his rocker, tried to kill his wife and her boyfriend, so I guess he caught them. Anyway, went to prison for a while. And like that other guy, well, I'm not going to get into crazy, but I've met a lot of crazy people. A lot of people believe they're Jesus Christ reincarnated and, you know, whatever, but, you know, hey, tell me why. You know, I always tell them, well, why do you think that? Like, let's talk about it, you know, because, you know, who knows? Maybe they're crazy. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're a test. I don't know. But anyway, the one mighty and strong and concluded that, John T. Clark, John wrote a book in 1922 about the one mighty and strong and concluded that it was an Indian. However, sometime later, he received a patriarchal blessing which convinced him that he was the one mighty and strong. He, too, has passed on. Leroy Wilson. Leroy set up a colony near Vayu, Utah. He was a genius and inventor who claimed his inventions could save the economy of the church. Oops, hold on here. He was shot dead over a mining claim in 1953. Joel LeBaron. Oh, this guy drives me nuts. Like, okay. On my group and Facebook and LDS Last Day Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, I allow anything Mormon to go in there. People can post in there. I'd like discussion, like, even if I don't believe it. Even if people come on and they're like, you're a false prophet, whatever, because I get plenty of those guys, right? I let it stay. I let all of it stay. Unless they get, like, really rude and start name-calling and get stupid, then I'm like, no, I'm done. Anyway, this guy comes on to my group, actually a couple of my groups, LDS Gospel Mystery is one of them. Anyway, but he comes into my group with all this Joel LeBaron stuff all the time, and like, oh, that's so interesting, you know, but I'm going to leave it there because I'm interested in everything Mormonism. But apparently Joel thought he was one mighty and strong. For a while, Joel was the leader of nearly all of the fundamentalist LeBarons. His group published a series of pamphlets called The Ensign, one of which stated Joel F. LeBaron is the one mighty and strong. And you can find that in the reference for that is on in Ogden's book, The 70s, on page 6. I think it's funny how Ogden likes to refer to his other books instead of just giving the place where you can find the original quote. But I think that he does give the original quote when he refers back to his book, so maybe that's just how his mind was. He wrote most of his books before there were computers, so just throw that out there. However, after some disagreements over authority, his brother Ervil had Joel killed. Oh, Herval LeBaron. I actually have spoken to Herval LeBaron's son, and Herval is in the Utah State Penitentiary, and he is still alive, I believe. John Langford, about 80 miles from Colonia LeBaron in Old Mexico, are the Langford families. They believe that Lon would be the one mighty and strong. However, when Lon died, they concluded that he would come back to do the job, which actually goes against teachings of Joseph Smith. They still await his arrival, Russ Lloyd. Russ was excommunicated and disowned by both the LDS Church and the Fundamentalists. He claimed to be the one mighty and strong, and later even the Holy Ghost. And that's interesting because the Holy Ghost, according to Joseph Smith, is supposed to come into mortality and do the same or similar things as the Savior has. And I believe, and one of the two witnesses who will be resurrected on the third day, is spoken of in Revelations chapter 11. So take that with what you will. I don't really care what people think. Basically, you know, if I believe who I am and who I believe I am is not right and I've gone overboard, are the principles that I'm talking about true? Can you learn from that? So who really cares who I am? If I am who I say I am, you know, then sit back and watch, I guess. I mean, according to Isaiah chapter 28, the one mighty and strong actually is supposed to teach they who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. According to section 85, supposed to set the house of God in order and issue out the inheritances. Now, I believe Father Adam, or Michael the Prince, is also one of the ones mighty and strong, who will come back to issue the inheritances at Adam and Andiamen. Like I said before, there are 15 mighty and strong ones who are generals in the armies of heaven. And when Yeshua, or Jesus, in section 85 said that he would send one mighty and strong, he never said the one mighty and strong. So what I believe, and I haven't got confirmation on this, God's pretty much left. What I believe is the one mighty and strong in section 85 is different from the one mighty and strong in Isaiah 28. So we got 90 seconds left on the live streaming portion of the radio program. Unfortunately, I'm in a place where I cannot check the studio to see who has called in. But if you're listening live, it's going to cut off. Unless you call into the phone number. The phone number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You have 60 seconds to make a decision to call in and just listen. Up to 100 people can listen on live or on the phone for free. And I won't be taking any calls tonight because I can't. I can't get into the studio in this particular location. I'm lucky I'm even able to get on the phone in this location. Anyway, I'll continue on. Oh, and by the way, if anybody does want to listen to this later, you can always go to Zion's Redemption Bookstore on Facebook and find the links to each of those radio programs, along with all of the text of the what we're actually reading, not my commentary, but the actual text. I post that in the on that Facebook page, Zion's Redemption Bookstore. Continuing. Let's see. So apparently this guy believed that he was the one mighty and strong, and later even that he was the Holy Ghost. He had some trouble in mortality and went blind and died. Eldon Hollis. Eldon had one of the most convincing stories of how the setting in order would take place. His visitation by angels sounded reasonable. However, he made some prophecies that failed to transpire and thus lost his small following. That's interesting. He was last known to have returned to Montana, so I guess nobody knows what happened to him. Frank Miller. Frank claims he was receiving ongoing revelations indicating that someday he will fill the fulfill the calling of setting the house of God in order. He moved to Utah, or he moved from Utah to Arizona, where he is still alive and well. These are only a few of the many individuals claiming the high and holy calling of one mighty and strong. Can I just say, if you go to if you go to blogtalkradio.com/thekingdomofgodornothing and go through the list of old shows, we actually read the book entitled One Mighty and Strong, which is way longer than the pamphlet and goes into way more detail and is really interesting. You can also read that for free online at ogdencrowd.com and just click on read Ogden's books and then scroll down to in alphabetical order to his book entitled One Mighty and Strong. You can read the whole thing for free online on your computer or tablet or device, phone, whatever. The other speculation some individuals have thought Jesus, Adam, Brigham Young, or an Indian prophet would fill this important position. 20 columns of Evening and Morning Star authored by J.D. Cole presented the case that Jesus is the one mighty and strong. He absolutely is, because the Father, God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Witness are all considered mighty and strong, and they are generals in the armies of heaven, and they preside over 12 others who are also mighty and strong. At least that's what I was shown in the vision when God told me to kneel down before him and ask him who I am. And when I did, that's what I was shown. You can shoot the messenger if you want, I guess. I can't really die until it's my time. So it's kind of funny, people. So I have a nickname, Lazarus. Part of the reason for that is because I have had all kinds of things happen to me where I should be dead and I'm not. So anyway, Maurice L. Glendening, the head of the Order of Aaron group, also thought Jesus was the one. Wingfield Watson, that's an interesting name, associated the Stringite with the Stringites, wrote a pamphlet in 1915 stating that the scriptures indicate the one mighty and strong is of the tribe of Judah and the lineage of David. Yes, he is. That's kind of cool. I don't know how he came up with that, but yeah. But I am a direct descendant of David through my grandmother. We have our genealogy. It goes all the way back to King David, all the way back to Adam and Eve through the scriptures. And then on my other side, we're English royalty, and it's interesting because our lineage goes back to Ephraim. Through that. So, just, I don't know, really interesting stuff. So I'm both, I have the blood of Judah, David, and Ephraim, and Yosef. Of course, you can only be one tribe according to the Jews. You know, I guess the stronger blood cancels out the other blood, or, you know, whatever. They make up all kinds of rules to go along with their strong delusion. But anyway, W. Phelps, who received a letter from and revelation from Joseph Smith about this one mighty and strong, thought that it was Adam. See the letter to Phelps to Brigham Young, May 6, 1861, Letters, Church History Office. Joseph F. Smith and his counselors noted that some have insisted that the late President Brigham Young was the man who fulfilled the prediction, Message of the First Presidency, Volume 4, page 110. Oliver B. Huntington said, "It was proven to me that he, Brigham Young, was the one mighty and strong." Huntington Journal, page 52, 1878. I have a little bit of a problem with that, since Jesus said, "I will reject the church if you do not build my temple," in section 124, which I've talked about a lot on other programs. And the things that were supposed to happen if the Father came and restored the fullness of the priesthood never did happen. In fact, the Father never came to that temple, and they never finished it. And it caught fire several times, and then finally it just burned completely to the ground. And then God sent a tornado to tear it from its foundations. So, you know, Jesus says, if you don't do this, and then it doesn't happen, and then he says, if you don't do what I say, you'll be rejected as a church with your dad. I'm pretty sure when he says that, he means that, and that the church was rejected. And even to the third and fourth generation, which is up to 160 years, which, interestingly enough, 160 years from 1844 is 2004, and it would be within the time period of 3 to 4 generations, and I saw Yeshua in the flesh with the Father in 2003, right at the time period of cursing, which is laid out in section 124. I've talked about that in my other programs, too. Ross Wesley LeBaron said he was convinced that the One Mighty and Strong is an Indian prophet. And that's interesting, too, because my other grandmother, great-great-grandmother, actually, was Iroquois Indian through the Seneca Nation up in, New York area. Interesting. So, Michael Darter, Francis Michael Darter, once wrote that it was Adam, then later he thought it was an Indian planted in the jungles of southern Yucatan and northern Guatemala. He quotes that was from God Will Send a Man. Anyway, So this Indian prophet is supposed to be the One Mighty and Strong, and that we're supposed to work closely with him. So the prophet Joseph Smith, many still think that Joseph Smith will yet fill the position of One Mighty and Strong, and he actually is one of them, and justly so. First Joseph holds the keys of this whole dispensation, which is funny because I got to get in, and therefore is still responsible for it. The Lord told him, "Verily I say unto you, the keys of this kingdom shall never be taken from you while thou art in the world, neither in the world." DNC section 90, verse 3. Second, if the setting in order takes place with all the house of God, it will require more authority than that of a bishop. Thirdly, he must be an immortal being, since he will have light for a covering, maybe. I'm not immortal, though, so, I mean, I'm going to die just when the time is right. Meaning he cannot be immortal. Okay, that's Ogden's speculation on it. Fourth, it has been prophesied that Joseph Smith will return to the earth in the flesh to lead the saints. Brigham Young said that, and I don't believe Brigham Young was a true prophet. I don't believe he was the Lord's anointed. I believe he taught things that were true and things that were false, like blood atonement. Totally don't even understand that at all. Fifth, he fills all the qualifications mentioned in section 85. The Book of Mormon mentions one mighty among them and his special work. This has been interpreted as Joseph Smith because the inclusion of the word restoration. Joseph Smith laid the foundation for the restoration of Zion. It was not finished. He was taken early because the church was cursed and rejected. That's why God is giving us more prophets today. And I'm not talking about Russell M. Nelson and Thomas Monson. God is trying to teach the people. He never did away with the Torah. The fulfillment of the sacrifice is something different. But his law and his instruction, the true Torah, was never done away with. Jesus, Yeshua, said, "These things will not be, I have not come, to change one jot or one tittle, one small little portion of Torah until all things be fulfilled." Well, are all things fulfilled? No, they're not. Nazarene Church, the church in Jerusalem, continued to keep Torah, to observe Shabbat, Sabbath, and to keep Pesach and Shavuot and, Yom Kippur and all of the Moedim, or the holy days of God. It was changed by the Catholic Church after that. And in order for a full restoration, there has to be an observant people who will keep God's instruction, his Torah. his Moedim, his true Shabbat, Sabbath. That is also part of the restoration, and the people couldn't handle it in the days of Joseph Smith because of their false traditions. God gave them as much as he could give them and set it, set it on autopilot, I guess, and now we are coming to a better understanding of things anyway. Wherefore, because of this covenant, thou art blessed, for the seed shall not be destroyed, for they shall hearken unto the words of the book, and there shall rise up one mighty among them who shall do much good, both in word and in deed, being an instrument in the hands of God, with exceeding faith to do the work, to work mighty wonders and do that which is great in the sight of God, unto the bringing to pass much restoration unto the house of Israel and unto the seed of thy brethren. 2 Nephi chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. I think I'm going to have to leave it at that point because I'm pretty sure I'm going to get cut off here because I only get 15 minutes of overdrive. So we're going to leave it at that point. We'll have to come back on tomorrow if I have time to do part 3 of One Mighty and Strong. Let's see here. Oh, I lost my place even here. Anyway, I'm going to just leave it at that. Thank you so much for listening to this program. You can comment on Facebook what your thoughts are on my page, Zion's Redemption Books. I will also be sharing the link to this in LDS Last Day Prophecy and Gospel Discussion Group on Facebook and LDS Gospel Mystery. Both of them are public groups. If you want to comment, you have to join. If not, you can just read it. It's all there. So anyway, thank you so much for listening to this program, everyone. Take care. Baruch Hashem and Shalom.